Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey everybody, good morning. My name is Matt Kladnick, and welcome Vintage Faith. Great to be with you this morning. My name is Matt, and if you are joining in with us, maybe for the first time, hello, glad to have you with us. And if you've been clicking in with us and been a part of our church for a long time, it's great to see you again. Hey, I had the last two Sundays off, which was great to not have to worry about preparing sermons. And so we were able to hear 2 weeks ago from Randy, and that was awesome to hear him in his heart. I love that message he gave us. And then last week, we had a little bit of an update from all of our missionaries around the world. And that was super fun just to see how they're doing. Especially fun to see the Lucas kids. So if you missed last week, you're going to want to find that one and catch up and see how all of our missionaries are doing. Hey, when life gets crazy and when things get chaotic, when plans get frustrated, we don't fall back on the nuances and the emotions of our faith. We need to stand firmly on the basics. You know, even as I'm recording this, like at this second, as this sermon is being recorded, there is news around our nation about riots going on. And our nation is angry and scared and anxious. And we need to be rooted in something that is deeper than our circumstances. We need to have a faith that is firmly established into something stronger than our feelings or what the news is telling us. You know, as we start a new year full of new experiences and new challenges, we must stand on a firm foundation. This series is called Back to Basics. In an unpredictable world full of opinions and ideas, there are some foundational statements that you and I can stand on to give us hope and security and comfort and peace and joy as we move forward in this world. You know, you may not know this, or maybe you are well aware of this, but we are a Foursquare church. That's who we are. That's our denomination. You know, being Foursquare is actually something that I am and that we are very, very proud of. There are many great denominations, and maybe you're watching us and you're part of a different church, a different movement, different denomination. There are many great denominations, and what I like to tell people is there are many great denominations, and we are one of them. But again, Foursquare is our denomination. It's kind of like our main brand, our main covering, and there are Foursquare churches all around the world that you could be a part of, and some of you actually are. You know, I want us to just have this little update on what is Foursquare, because that's a question I get often, is what in the world is Foursquare? And so I want to introduce you to a short little video put on by Foursquare to give you a little bit of update on who Foursquare is. And my sermon right after this short video will be about our first tenet of our faith, Jesus is our Savior. So enjoy this video.
So why do we call ourselves Foursquare? Believe it or not, it has nothing to do with our skills on the playground. No bobbles, double taps, or Texas twisters. Back in the 20s, our founder, Amy Semple McPherson, began referring to the message of the gospel as being four square, which back in the day meant solid and balanced. Amy's message focused on four essential aspects of who Jesus Christ is, and those aspects are easily represented by the logo before you now. The first box, the cross, represents Christ the Savior. Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God who died on a cross to pay the price for our sins. Because of his sacrifice, we can actually have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. The second box is a dove, which represents Christ as the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, a dove came down and landed on him, showing the Spirit of God was one with Jesus. The Spirit of God does the same thing today. In fact, we describe our movement as Spirit-filled, because the impossible is possible when people are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The third box is a chalice, which represents Christ as the healer. Jesus cares and is involved in all of our lives. Whether our issues are emotional, spiritual, or physical, God has the power to heal the deepest of wounds and cure the darkest of afflictions. And the final box is a crown, which represents Christ as the soon coming King. Simply put, Jesus is who he said he was. No matter how dark or confusing the world may get, Jesus will be returning one day to make all things right. So there you have it, four squares, representing four aspects of Jesus Christ, making a four-square doctrine that is solid and balanced. We may not agree on every little aspect of how we live our lives as followers of Jesus. As long as you join with us in believing in Christ as Savior, Baptizer with the Holy Spirit, Healer, and soon coming King, well, your faith sounds pretty four-square to us.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and watching that and learning a little bit more about us. I think we all probably learned a little something from that video. It was very, very well done. You know, can you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1? 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And Paul's life went through many transformations and one huge transformation. You know, one day Paul was looking for ways to persecute Christians. And the next day, Paul has this encounter with God that changed his life from that point on until forever. You know, his whole life was changed in a moment. Paul knew firsthand the saving grace of God. And so we follow it here into 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is what Paul says to Timothy. He says this, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Christ came to the world to save sinners. Jesus is our Savior. He is our rescuer. You know, Jesus came to be an example to us. Jesus came to teach us. Jesus came to inspire us. But above all these things, Jesus came first and foremost to save us, to rescue us. Talking about salvation, it can sound a little bit weird. And talking about salvation, it's such a big, elaborate, big subject that it can be kind of hard to kind of bring down to terms that you and I can understand. So let me tell you a story, not about salvation, but let me tell you about a very similar word. I'll tell you a story of rescue, okay? Now, this is a story I've told before, and maybe it's been a while, but if you heard the story before, then just go ahead and check the football scores real quick. For the rest of us, you can listen to the story. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, my sister and I were swimming at a water park up in Washington, and it was the middle of the summer. That's the only time you can be outside is in the middle of summer, but my sister and I were swimming at this water park, and there was like a kiddie pool. You know, it was about 2 feet deep, and we're playing and splashing in the pool with some of our friends. Well, something happened while we were playing in the pool. You know how kids just play, and I think I was one of the primary instigators in this, but I splashed a child. I know. Can you believe it? Me, the pastor of Vintage Faith, I splashed a child with water. But I splashed this boy who was a lot bigger than me, and he splashed me back. So I did what you do when someone splashes you. You splash them back even more. And to which he splashed me back even more. And this escalated from a little splash here and there to just throwing water at each other. The next thing I know, and I'm not exaggerating, is that this boy, who was much bigger than me, grabbed me by the neck and started dunking my head under the water, holding me under the water. I have vivid memories of having my head under the water, screaming, and then he'd lift my head out, and I'd scream, and he'd dunk me back under the water. I was helpless to get away from this kid. I was like, at 6 years old, I was like, my life, my 6 years are flashing before my eyes. I was certain that I was going to die. And as he is taking my head and plunging my head under the water and lifting me up and plunging my head under the water, every time he lifted my head up out of the water, I saw out of the corner of my eye over where my mom was sitting on the side watching us. And at one point, I lifted up, I saw my mom sitting, and they went under the water. I came back up, my mom was standing up, and I went back under the water. And then he lifted me up, and then I saw my mom walking down the pavement. Then back and forth, slowly my mom is running, and then my mom is running in the water to get me. The next thing I know, my mom grabs this boy and throws him off of me. This is how I remember it. She grabbed him. She threw him off of me. She lifted me up out of the water, and she dragged me over to dry land. Now, this might sound really dramatic, and it was to me. Like, this was a big moment for me. But this is a moment that my mom rescued me. I was in over my head. I got myself into trouble, and I couldn't get myself out of it. When I think of salvation, I think of that story a lot because I think of the fact that God has come to rescue me, much like my mom rescued me. In a similar way, the salvation, the rescue that Jesus offers us, it impacts us in three different ways. You know, when my mom rescued me, my mom got me out of the water, she saved me from the situation that I had gotten myself in. My past behavior got me in a bad situation. My mom rescued me from that. My mom also rescued me from the drowning that was currently happening to me. And not only that, my mom also rescued me so that I could have a new day tomorrow. Because if it wasn't for my mom's intervention, I'm not sure if I would have. Much like the rescue that my mom did for me, Jesus has rescued you and I. He has saved you and I. And he has saved us from our past. Jesus is saving us from our current situation. And he has saved us for a better future. Okay? So let me talk about our three different points. Kiddos, as you are looking at your art you're creating, I'm going to give you the words to fill in here. So number one is this. Jesus saves us from our past. Jesus saves us from our past. The Bible often talks about sin and salvation in terms of debt and payment of debt. You know, sin incurs a debt that is owed. In order for the debt to be resolved, a payment must get made. And unfortunately for us, the cost of our sin is too great for you and I to pay on our own. The debt that our sin has incurred is too great of a debt that you and I could ever pay on our own. This is why the atoning sacrifice of Jesus is so important. Because of what Jesus has done for us, he has paid the debt that you and I have made because of our wrong actions. Does that make sense? Because of what Jesus has done, he and only him could pay for the wrongs that we have done. And in doing that, in Jesus' sacrifice, you and I get to have a relationship with God again. But more than that, because of Jesus' redemptive actions in paying for our mistakes and paying for our offenses, you and I get to have a brilliant and wonderful relationships to one another. When I came to Jesus, I came to Jesus with my arms full of offenses and hurts and wrongs. I came to Jesus with sin that was undealt with. I came to Jesus with patterns of my life that were unhealthy to myself and to the people that I love the most. But Jesus willfully took all of my sin, all of my shame. He took all of it. He took all of my debts and he gave me a fresh start. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Only Jesus can take our sins and make us pure. Only Jesus can take the stains and blemishes of our past and make us whole and bring healing into our lives. Jesus has done this for me. Now, this is my story. I came to Jesus a total mess and disaster, and Jesus took all my offenses, all my sins, and he cleansed me and he made me new. This is his saving grace at work in my life. Number two, Jesus saves us from our present. Go ahead, kiddos and adult kiddos who are taking notes. Jesus saves us from our present. This is number two. We each have a deeply ingrained propensity to do wrong. Did you know that? Not to do right. Each of us have a deeply ingrained propensity to do what is wrong. It is this sinful nature that you and I have, and is this bent towards doing something destructive and wrong and not doing something right. You know, try spending time with a toddler and you will see the conniving nature of sin subtly at work inside a toddler. I mean, not my toddlers, but yours. I'm just joking. But when you see a child and you see there in the background of a child's mind is this constant need and want and desire to take and desire to have, it isn't this overflow of generosity and kindness all the time. There's this behind the scene, selfishness that each of us have, whether you're 3, 33, or 63. You know, but part of following Jesus is learning how to live a whole new rhythm in your life. Part of following Jesus is learning to live to a whole new rhythm of life. It is the difference between a waltz and four on the floor. So let me give you two examples of two different rhythms. First is a waltz. Okay, waltz. Let's try this. I'm not a music major at all. Okay, a waltz. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. You know, that's a waltz. Da, 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 da. I don't know. That's Italian. I don't know. Anyways, a waltz is just 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. That's a rhythm. And another rhythm would be a 4-4 rhythm. Would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. I think I messed it up. Anyways, that actually helps me prove my point. To transition from one rhythm, a waltz, to four on the floor is not an easy transition. There are two very different, actually distracting rhythms. And what Jesus invites us to is to abandon an old rhythm of life, to adhere to a brand new rhythm of life. Now, for some people, you can go from a waltz to a rock song really effortlessly and easily. But for some, this transition is a little bit more difficult, and there's a little bit of an abruptness to it, and there's mistakes along the way. And I think this is a picture of what the salvation that Jesus has for us looks like. Salvation is a moment. It's a choice. I'm going to live a brand new rhythm of life, but it's going to be a process of time before I can adhere to this rhythm in the way that it would be meaningful and helpful and hopeful for me. Okay, so there's this point that there's a season of grace that God gives us as we are sanctified. It's this process of his character coming out inside of our lives. And it is this abandoning of an old rhythm that was destructive and harmful and hurtful to holding on to a brand new rhythm of life that is altogether different, has an altogether different outcome. And this is what Jesus saves us from. He saves us from an old rhythm of life and invites us to a brand new rhythm of life. Listen to Jesus's invitation. This is from the Message paraphrase, and it says it like this. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30, it says this: are you tired? This is Jesus's invitation. Remember, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You know, destructive behaviors, unhealthy practices, limiting mindsets, they are all upended when we say yes to the salvation that Jesus offers us. Let me just say that again, because I think this is good for us to hear. Destructive behaviors, unhealthy practices, limiting mindsets, they are upended with the salvation that Jesus offers us. You know, I'd much rather live in the unforced rhythms of grace. I'd much rather live in this free and light rhythm of life than the rhythm of life that is so depleting and so exhausting and so such a burden to carry. Jesus invites us. This is salvation that Jesus offers us. It's not just that our past is made clean, but so that our present can be abundant, right? Jesus not only wants to give us to seal and resolve the debt that we have incurred, but he also wants to live in this brand new rhythm of hope and of life where we get to be a blessing. We get to reflect his goodness to the world around us. And part of reflecting his goodness is that we abandon these rhythms of life that were destructive when we start dancing to a whole new rhythm, right? This is why Jesus has come to save us. And number three is this: Jesus saves us from our future. Jesus saves us from our future. Go ahead and jot that one down. Not only does Jesus make our past pure and our present healthy, but salvation gives us hope for all of eternity. Salvation gives us hope for tomorrow. Because of what Jesus has done, nothing can separate us from his love, ever. Because of what Jesus has done, nothing can separate us from his love ever. Romans chapter 8, 39 says, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Knowing that my future is secure gives me such needed peace, especially in a world that is so chaotic, so messy, so angry, so anxious. My identity isn't in the hope I have for this moment. My identity, my peace comes from the fact that my future is held firmly in his hands. That whatever happens today, he knows my tomorrow and I can trust him with my tomorrow, right? No matter what the news is saying, no matter what is coming up on your social media feed, we have hope because of what Jesus has promised for us for eternity. Even when things feel messy around me, I have confidence because Jesus has a hope-filled future for me. Because of what Jesus has done, I know that no matter what happens to me, his promise is that he will choose to always be with me. No matter what circumstances happen today, his promise is that he will be with me through anything tomorrow. As we wrap up here, this first tenet of the Foursquare Gospel is Jesus is our Savior. And this is great news. This is great news. Jesus is our rescuer. This is one of the basics we must stand firmly on. And in a world where our foundation crumbles in front of us, this is worth standing on. Jesus is our Savior. No one else is your Savior. Not your own efforts, not your own actions, not the best opinion of somebody else, not a feeling, not emotion, not in a relationship, not a substance. None of these things are meant to or can or could ever save you. Only Jesus can save you. There's no salvation, no rescue in anything else. The best news about this salvation is that it is free. It is free. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Salvation is a gift that God has given us so that we can walk in harmony with him and in unity with our brothers and sisters. And our world needs this message. This is good news to the world. You know, the best thing you can do with this free gift is enjoy it and receive it. I want to go back to my story about my mom because I think there's something else here in here that's good for us. When I was being tormented by this boy and almost drowned to death, as I was playing in this water and I was in a helpless situation, this is what my mom didn't do. She didn't yell from the safety of the shore, right? My mom could have said, "Get off my son, quit drowning him, he's weak." You know, I don't know. But she could have stood on the shore and she could have said, "Get away from him, let him go, get out, Matt, get yourself out of that situation, Matt, help, get yourself out of there, do something, Matt." She could have done that, right? But my mom didn't just stand from the safety of the shore and give me encouraging words. My mom got into the water. My mom ran to where I was. My mom met me at my most immediate point of pain and need, and she rescued me. And this is a brilliant picture. This is the best picture of what Jesus has done for you. Jesus looks at your situation, your hopeless situation. He looks at your marriage, your finances, your health. He looks at exactly where you are drowning right this second. And he doesn't yell you from the safety of the shore saying, "Get it together, you got this, you can figure it out." He comes and he meets you right where you are. And he is the one who lifts you out of that situation and he gives you a hope. Right? This is good news for us. You don't have to fix it yourself. You don't have to find a way out. You don't have to wait on anybody else. Jesus comes and he meets you right where you are. This is the incarnation. This is God coming to earth to save you, to meet you in your pain, to live life like you, to understand your situation, to understand your pain, your longings, your hurt, your brokenness, to be with you. Jesus can save you from all the torment of this world because he knows the torment of this world. None of this is unfamiliar to who he is. He knows it. He knows what it feels like to get stabbed in the back. He knows what it feels like to get criticized. He knows what it feels like to be abandoned. He knows what it feels like to get forgotten. He knows what it feels like. So wherever you feel like you are drowning, he knows what that feels like, and he knows it so well because he's been there, and he meets us in the middle of it. Isn't that good news? Somebody say amen. Just like my mom ran and met me, Jesus is running to meet you. And today, as we wrap up, I just want to give you an opportunity. He is right now extending this opportunity for you to have a relationship with him. God has done everything on his side of the equation so that you and I can have peace with him. And all we need to do is to acknowledge and receive the gift of salvation he has for us and start enjoying it. And if you're watching this today and you're like, "Man, I'd love to be free. I'd love to not feel the weight that I feel all the time. I would love to feel like some of my debts have been paid. I'd love for my past to be cleansed. I would love for my immediate situation to have just some sort of light to it in the middle of a dark season. And I'd love just to know that tomorrow is safe." And if that's you today, then this is an opportunity for you. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if you would be brave enough and take this opportunity, I invite you to say this prayer with me wherever you may be. Trust me, other people are going to be joining you with this awesome decision as we all make it together. And I don't know about you, but I want to say yes to Jesus too. I want to say yes to Jesus today. I want to say yes to Jesus tomorrow. I hope you, with me, will say yes to Jesus right now. Let's pray. God, I thank you for everything you've done. I thank you for sending your Son to live on this earth, for his selfless life and sacrifice. And today I choose to surrender my old rhythm of life, and I abandon the patterns that made me selfish and full of pride, and I choose to follow in your rhythms of grace. God, help us to turn from our ways of destruction and help us to turn to a rhythm of life that would both bring hope and peace to us, but also extend your hope and your peace to the world around us. So today, Jesus, we choose to follow you and we say yes. We say yes to every good thing you have for us. We say yes to every challenge that is in front of us. We say yes to every correction you have for us. We say yes to every opportunity. We say yes to every task that comes in front of us. God, would we be people that say yes to every good thing you have for us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.